Our sermon text for today is Isaiah 61, 1 through 7. We read in Jesus' name. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Please pray with me. Lord, it is not our feet that gather us to you, but rather it is our ears. Because, Lord Jesus, it's hearing your gospel that is what draws us closer to you, not any of our works. Lord, all of us who believe in you are one in spirit, and yet though we are united in spirit right now, our circumstances for us call for us to be absent in the body from each other. And yet, Lord, even in our separation, you have given us many blessings. So I pray, Lord, that as we try out this new technology, that it would not get in the way, but would instead bless us all and your proclamation. Please put your blessing, Lord, put your blessing on our efforts to spread your gospel of grace and forgiveness. And please bless everyone watching this, that they would be able to hear your gospel and receive your truth and your spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I remember it like it was yesterday because it was a week ago. My only care in the world was writing a sermon for Sunday. My sermon was on John 4 at the well. And in that text, I saw an application point for all of us. And it was, if we're supposed to worship in spirit and truth, then we need to go where the truth is. And in normal times, the truth is in the church. So we should go to church on Sunday to hear the gospel. But it turns out, sometimes physical needs get in the way of that. Even Jesus had physical needs that slowed him down, and right now we all have a physical need not to spread this new disease as it's spreading across the whole globe. And the crazy thing is, it's actually not even a need that every single one of us has. This disease does scare some populations a lot more than others. Some people are way more at risk than others. And many of us could carry it without ever even knowing it. So for those of us who could do that, it's probably not that big of a deal. But a few things are scaring us anyways. One is that even if we think we're low risk, we can never really know for sure. And the other is that every single one of us has friends and neighbors and loved ones who are at high risk. And so here we are, We're doing church in sweatpants because we're sitting in our living rooms. And even though Jesus attacked the Pharisees for requiring people to wash their hands before they eat, yesterday I hung a sign on our church door saying, "When you enter this building, wash your hands immediately." But even that sign seemed a little bit silly because really no one should be coming here except for our staff. Our church leadership has weighed our need to worship with each other and encourage each other face to face with a real and important need to not spread this disease. And our church leadership has decided the need to protect our community from this disease is more important. Jeremiah 7, 5 through 7, our Lord God is addressing his people, and this is shortly before Nebuchadnezzar came and carried off all of these people into captivity. He's addressing his people, and he said to the people of God, "For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice with one another, if you do not oppose the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever." We have a Christian duty. We are called by God not to oppress the weakest and most vulnerable among us. And against this disease, there is no magic bullet. It is a community problem. Our fight against it is only as good as our collective communities fight against it. And we as Christians are called by God to make sure that our lives in our community do not contribute to the oppression of the weak and the vulnerable among us. And so we will not be meeting in this building. Everything is canceled at least until March 28th. And we are moving as much stuff online as possible, which is actually why I'm preaching right now. Darcy and I are running a service to try out all our techie gadgets and trying to make them all work. Prince of Peace has been live casting on Facebook for quite a while, so this isn't entirely new to us. But we've also ran into some glitches in the past where things haven't worked quite as swimmingly as we would have liked. So we've updated how we're streaming, and we're moving towards streaming on YouTube as well. And we're upgrading some of the software and the equipment that we use. That's actually been a big part of what Darcy and I have been working on Monday and today, as well as Pastor Kent, who's working on things like GoToMeeting for our Bible studies, so that we can continue interacting with each other, even when we can't be breathing the same air. So here we are. I mean, actually, we're not all here. You guys are at home, but here we are. And I think all of us are just a little bit in shock. 6 weeks ago, a little over 62,000 people crammed into a football game, a game that 102 million people watched on TV. And most of those people went to parties at other people's homes. And the next day, the biggest argument in America was how much the halftime show objectified women. Last week, America's discussion was about, are we overreacting to all of this stuff? But now, as we've gotten more data, we've seen a radical shift. And we've seen things we never thought we would see in America. Some of us have had the experience of going to the grocery store and seeing empty shelves. And for many of us, that is a new experience entirely. The good news is there is no reason to think that that will continue. The supply chains will quickly get caught up. But that doesn't change the fact that that is new and scary for us. And seeing empty shelves in your local grocery store creates pretty strong feelings in all of us. Quite a few people get scared by that. And quite a few people, when they see empty shelves, they get very angry. We're not even sure who to be angry at. Angry at people stocking up food, or angry at the government, or angry at whoever or whatever first brought this virus into our lives. Maybe even, are we angry at God? Maybe we should take a moment to ask ourselves if we're there. Do we feel sorry for ourselves and our change of circumstances? Do we feel so sorry that we're actually angry at God? If there's one thing that I know we're all dealing with right now, it's a lot of emotion. We feel like we didn't do anything wrong, and now we're basically captives. Sure, we're on house arrest, but come on, we can't meet any of our friends, and we're not supposed to go out and do anything. We're captives. We're captives to our homes, and in the midst of that, some of us are struggling just not to become captive to our fear or to our anger. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do not let your physical sense of captivity erode your hold on the truth. Do not let your fear or your anger at the situation win, because no matter the situation, when we trust in Christ, we are not captives. We are free. These words in Isaiah, these are the words of Jesus Christ. After Jesus came back from the wilderness, I mean, he was all alone in the wilderness, completely by himself, nothing to eat, nothing. He didn't even have empty shelves at a grocery store because he didn't have a grocery store. He went into the wilderness to be tempted by the pains of hunger, because he loves you. And he had to be tempted in every way that you are tempted. And when he finished that, then he went all throughout Galilee, and he was preaching in the synagogues. And he went into the synagogue of Nazareth, his hometown, and he read them these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then this is what he said. He rolled up the scroll. According to Luke, he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." He did not say, "Tomorrow you will be liberated." He did not say, "Eventually this will all be fulfilled." He said, "Today, right now, where you are sitting, today is the year of the Lord's favor." And wherever the word of Jesus Christ is, wherever God's word is, there is freedom. It's the word of God that sets captives free. And that might seem like an empty consolation when you're stuck at home and you're bored. But brothers and sisters, if we need to get out into the world to pursue our own things and to build our own kingdoms and to take care of our own stuff instead of being faithful to the call that God has put on our lives to protect the weak and the vulnerable among us. Then our captivity to the idols in our life is way more powerful and way more dangerous than our captivity to our living rooms. Many of us will still need to go out and work. The power plants need to keep spinning, and the clinics and hospitals need to stay open. That's not idolatry, that is being responsive to God's call. Many of us have essential roles that need to be fulfilled. But we also have a whole bunch of non-essential stuff in our lives, and that stuff just needs to be put off for a while. But when we give up those things in service to Christ, that is not captivity. Paul says in Philippians 3, 7 through 9, I once thought that these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I can gain Christ and become one with Him. Jesus Christ is the Lord and Master of the entire universe. Like we read in Romans 8 to start our service, if He's for us, who could be against us? And if we are one with Christ, of course He's for us. There is freedom in enduring what we might feel is a physical captivity for the sake of Christ, which is what we're all doing now. By faith, we are free right now. Because Jesus Christ promises to restore all things, and we who believe in Him trust in that. We don't have to fear anything, because Jesus says this day of joyous blessing instead of mourning, this day of beauty instead of ashes, this day is already fulfilled. We have already received this blessing by our faith in Jesus Christ, because He has already defeated our greatest enemy, death itself. We were captive to that enemy and unable to fight our way free. We could not free ourselves from our captivity to sin and death. So Jesus went to the cross. God the Father anointed Jesus with suffering so that Jesus could proclaim good news to the poor, good news to all of us. Jesus will fight our battles for us, and Jesus will redeem our captivity. We need only be faithful. And right now, the faithful thing to do is to slow our lives down. We need to try to slow down and spread out this thing. So it's a bit of a weird feeling then, when you're just waiting at home, you feel like you're actually waiting for the enemy to come after us. But in Exodus 14, the Israelites were doing the same thing. They were camped alongside the Red Sea, and they could see their enemy, the Egyptians, coming at them. And the Israelites were terrified. The Egyptians had chariots and whatever else. Moses said to the Israelites, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." You need only be still. And that's what I want to leave you with this afternoon. Brothers and sisters, the Lord God will absolutely free us from this captivity. Not only will He fight for us, He's already defeated our worst enemy. Now we only need be still, to rest in His own work, not in our own efforts. And to rest in His Word. Brothers and sisters, now is a time to slow our lives down, and I encourage you to use this time to be still, but be still with your eyes in the Bible. Find your rest in God's Word, and be still by growing in Christ and in the knowledges of His promise. Be still, knowing that beyond this thing lies everlasting joy for everyone who trusts in Christ. Amen.